is leads to more sort of delay and that sort of thing. Then
you see, Woods being in the Treasury wouldn't allow Turner near him.
Wouldn't he?
No. And so the Treasury was, it was difficult to reform the Treasury. And
yes, I was never in the Treasury, thank heaven.
Oh yes. What sort of man was Huxham?
Huxham, difficult to say. I knew Huxham quite well.
I was wondering whether he was weak in his dealings with the politicians. Only yes, man.
I shouldn't have thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
I admit, when I say I knew Huxham quite well, I knew him more socially. I played a lot of bridge with Huxham.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. I mean, I know him doing quite well outside the office. Inside the office, not at all, because I say, thank heaven, I was never in the Treasury. I never wanted to go there, I never went there. And they didn't want me there, so...
What about this DRO system? Wasn't that new?
Yes, entirely.
Uh-huh. How was it working?
I think quite well. I was, on the whole, dealing with them in districts, I was quite agreeably surprised.
What exactly were their duties?
Well, they were the same as Chief Headman.
Mm-hmm.
They took over from the Chief Headman.
Oh, I see.
And so instead of having the Chief Headman, who were appointed by the government agent, probably from a senior clerk in the country who'd been had experience out in acting as Chief Headman and that sort of thing, they had this system which was selected by examination.
Mm-hmm.
And you shoved them out into the Chief Headman's areas as Chief Headman.
When you were AGA Gaul, who did you have, DROs or...?
No, they haven't started by that time. They were all Chief Headman then.
How would you compare the two systems?
I'd rather like to have seen the Divisional Revenue Officers say now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you see, I only had dealings with them when they'd been going for...
3 years.
2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So I remember one man I thought very highly of in Manar, when I went back to the Chief Secretary's office and looked at the records, I found that he was supposed to be one of the leading lights of the system, you see. So it was rather difficult to, mm-hmm. I mean, he was obviously, but was a particularly
good one.
One or two of the others were not. They bared us all, but... You hadn't gotten anything like the same knowledge of the district as the Chief Headman had.
Yes, and also it is said that the class of people who applied for this were not very good. But is that correct?
Not entirely, I shouldn't have thought.
It is said that certainly the old Headman class, or, you know, the bottom half mayors and their relatives, possibly, didn't want to demean themselves by applying for these posts.
That I don't know.
Mm. What happened to the former Atmahatmas? Were they made DROs? I mean, existing chaps?
They stayed on. The idea was that you had a fresh batch of DROs every year. When I started, you had, say, what, 21 year, 20 the next, and 20 the third.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the numbers were. And they filled the vacancies in the Chief Headman system as they arose. You didn't appoint another Chief Headman, you kept it for a DRO, and if there wasn't a DRO ready, you put in somebody to act. And then when the batch of DROs was ready, they had to undergo training, I think. I can't remember exactly
mm-hmm.
what happened. I think they were pushed out under Chief Headman, I think. When they were ready to be appointed, there wasn't a vacancy for them, a Chief Headman was called upon to retire.
I got it.
And so you got rid of the poorer Chief Headman, obviously.
I've got a beautiful story about a DRO called Bus Nayaka.
I know the name, yes.
Who was raping women in Sabalgama district.
Was he?
Yes.
No, I haven't heard that one.
This was later on.
Yes.
And I didn't want to judge the... DROs by that
mark. No, I must admit that, except for one particular one, Subramanian, I think, whom I thought was extremely good, and that on the whole, I preferred dealing with the Chief Headman. because they were not transferred. You transferred DROs after about 5 years. You could put them somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
Which was a good thing up to a point, so they didn't get too, I suppose, caught up in the local web. On the other hand, if you were dealing with the chief headman, you reckoned you knew you were dealing with someone who knew his district properly. Some of these DROs, well, they hadn't had a chance to get to know their areas. And possibly were too full of theories.
Yes, it was a competitive exam. Of what sort?
Oh God, I used to write it now, I've forgotten. There was a written examination in which they had to qualify,
mm-hmm.
And then they came up for interview. I used to interview prospective candidates for the clerical service with the Director of Education, and I think we used to interview these prospective DROs as well.
Yes.
And I suppose we gave so much, we used to give them and so many marks, and that I think was added into the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they were sent out for training, as far as I can remember, under Chief Headman for I can't remember. I know they used to have progress reports. I think it was under Chief Headman, but I can't really remember now exactly. It was supposed to get quite a high level of candidate. I mean, they had to do quite well to get through.
I think that's useful, but I was wondering whether you took social background into consideration and would rather choose a countryman than a townsman, for instance.
Well, I think one would probably take that into consideration. One didn't take their sort of a social antecedents into, because one wasn't allowed to do that.
Yes, no, frankly, I would have thought that I myself would have been a very bad candidate for a DRO, and it would be better to have someone who knew something about the rural scene.
I think probably, however well you've done the examination,
yes.
On the interview, we might have written you down accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So that this chap doesn't really know anything much about the problems of the countryside.
And
you might say that if you had an RM son who came up, you would say that this man starts by knowing quite a lot about it.
Yes.
And then you'd find probably that he couldn't get more than about a 30% of the examination, but the written examination is. So where are you? But I rather regretted the chief headman system, going, that was possibly because I'm rather conservative by nature. But one or two of these DROs were good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were not, but you find that in any system.
What did you think of the education system in Ceylon? I was wondering whether you felt it was too exam-oriented and too...
Didn't really have anything much to do with it. I never really I can't pretend that I really set my mind to the education system.
No, I was wondering whether you ever felt the lack of more technology in Ceylon, elementary sorts.
Not myself, in England.
If I could get some of the facts straight, you were again Assistant Chief Secretary at the end of the war, March 1945.
Yes.
Till?
April 1946 when I went on leave.
And then after that you went to Kenya?
No, then I came back from leave,
mm-hmm.
In January, end of December 46, and I was pushed again into the Chief Secretary's office, and while I was there I got a transfer to Kenya. And then I just sat there while it was being wound up, because I was going at the end of November and it wasn't worthwhile transferring me into anything else. So it was really, for the last 3 months that I was there and so on, I did hardly anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing was winding, I was running down.
Mm-hmm. And then you came back in 1950?
Came back in 1950.
As private secretary to soldiers?
No, not as private secretary.
Secretary.
As official secretary to soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Till 1954. Mm-hmm. And after Ceylon, you went to Nyasaland?
I went to Kenya, and first to Yerke, then for Yerke Nyasaland, that's the end of 47.
Mm.
And then after 54, I went to Nyasaland for 7 months on my way to Southern Rhodesia,
mm-hmm.
to the federal government.
Did you feel that Ceylon was ready for independence immediately after the war?
I personally prefer to see him full internal sort of a government would give him first. I'd rather believe in doing things more by stages. But
In effect, the stages demarcated by Solbury, or even
I can't remember what it was now. But it all went from the committee system of government and the chief secretary, financial secretary, legal secretary, into full independence, didn't it?
Yes, but wouldn't it be correct to say that by the 1940s, the power and influence of these three officers of state had lessened considerably?
Everything was overtaken by the war, because when you had a commander-in-chief who was in supreme control of everything, you see it all to behold, everything, didn't it?
That is true, but even before the war, it would seem that the three officers of state and the politicians got on better. And
yes, I should think they probably had. I hadn't got any dealings up at that level.
What sort of man was Caldicott?
I only just met him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't affect, only as an official or a function at the Queen's House. I never had any... Leighton, I didn't meet at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite a forceful character. I've heard quite a lot about Leighton.
Yes.
And I think he was the right person in the job at that time.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering whether he would have got on, this is very hypothetical, but I was wondering whether he would have got on with the politicians if Caldicott was not there.
I should doubt it.
Mm.
From what I've heard of Leighton, I should.
But sometimes I thought the ministers liked his direct methods and his language.
I dare say they did, but I think only in those circumstances that appertained then,
mm-hmm.
during the war. I think probably the Caldicott's position must have been extremely difficult.
Yes.
And the guy Edmars, when you had a commander in chief as well.
Did you have anything to do with the Solbury Commission?
No.
Mm-hmm. Seemed to have well been.
No, I had nothing to do with them at all.
You didn't meet them?
No, who were they?
Rees, Burrows?
Yes, I just met Burrows, and I've mm-hmm. seen Rees. And mm-hmm. I just did meet Burrows, but I didn't really have anything to do with them then.
What were your feels when you were chief secretary in the second spell, assistant chief secretary?
I was dealing with passports, and I was the secretary of the Passages Priority Committee,
mm-hmm.
which was quite a lot. And I must have something else, but I simply cannot remember what. I'm sure I must have had something else. It wasn't anything to do with defence, the defence of the and doing the army, but. If I had something else to do, I can't remember what it was. Actually, the passports didn't as much as all that, but the Passage Priority Committee kept me fairly busy. I just can't remember.
One striking feature of this post-war year is that after the Solbury report, Sir Naika flew to London, or at least he was in London when it came out, and immediately upon the report being received, report virtually gave full internal self-government and reserved a few subjects. Serenaika didn't ask for more, he asked for the whole hog and for independence. And it was refused by the colonial office then. But 1.5 to 2 years later, and when he made the demand again, they agreed to it. And one was wondering why this change of view came about.
Was that a change of government, or was it...
The change of government had already taken place.
It had really taken place, it had, didn't it?
End of 45.
Yes. I don't know. I think most of this was all decided when I was in England. I was in England the whole of 46.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
From May 46 to January 47. And I think all this was going on then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but in England, were you in touch with the Waterstones or not?
No, I wasn't at all.
No, I was wondering, would you say that in England there was some pressure from some newspapers and, you know, some lobbying, and perhaps even Churchill was against it? I was wondering whether there were groups here who were arguing against it.
I don't know what was going on at all. Especially during that time, I was right out. And of course, even in Ceylon, you didn't hear what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were in the know up the top.
Since you were in charge of the clerical service, I presume you know something about their salary scales.
I did, but I don't know.
No, I was wondering whether their salaries were sufficient for the post-war inflation.
The question is whether any salaries were, because I mean, the civil service salaries were all based on 1921.
Can you remember these strikes of 46, 47?
Yes, I was there then, yes.
And what were your impressions on this, about the strikes? Because the clerical servants also came out.
And they did, yes. Well, the impression, because I don't think most of them wanted to come out. Mm-hmm. One or two militant ones,
mm-hmm.
who had got control of the association.
But presumably most of them didn't want to come out. They could have...
Well, there was a certain amount of intimidation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There were one or two people picketing. And I think they were rather frightened about what might happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that...
In the Chief Secretary's office, We had pretty good level of people that came. We didn't have very many people away.
I was wondering whether... Did you feel that it was politically inspired, or whether it was a combination of both? Genuine grievances and political inspiration?
I think probably political inspiration. The actual dealing of the strike business was... I wasn't really oddly enough concerned with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because labour disputes, they came under labour disputes, and that didn't come through me. That was dealt with by, I think it was Barron was dealing with that, and dealing with the Chief Secretary, and I didn't come in on that side.
Have you any idea what line DS and OE were pushing when they were demanding independence after the war?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. No, I was wondering whether they stressed their cooperation and...
I wasn't really in on the
dealing.
At that level. I mean, the job was much higher up. And in fact, it wasn't any part of my jobs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, I mean, no one would have told me. Nobody had any business come down, no sort of, to tell anyone what they were doing. I certainly didn't.
How would you assess DS then, Mike?
Very highly, I think.
Mm. On the other hand, did you feel that he had some beads in his bonnet? You know, on particular subjects.
I expect he had. I mean, I didn't have many personal dealings with him.
For instance, it has been said that he drove some good men from his department. Wilson, irrigation man, and Kennedy, I think. I don't know whether he...
That I don't know. I don't know at that level. I didn't hear that.
Who were the politicians you knew in Gaul and Colombo? The Hanaika in Gaul?
Hardly. They didn't seem to take very much interest in anything I was.
Dealing with. You didn't find any personal criticism or any political interference in Gaul.
Not as far as I was concerned. There was Dahanaka, but none of them seemed to worry much about this land business, which is what I was dealing with almost entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had them. for coming along to me and saying this, that, or the other. It's not about to do with once or twice to do with in Colombo with Bandaranaike.
Oh.
You went out with me once or twice.
Pardon?
You went out with me once or twice to look at something or other. I can't remember what.
No, you didn't suffer from any personal attack in press or
No. In Colombo, I mean, in Gaul, as far as my own job was concerned, which was land and looking at minor roads and that sort of thing, there might have been no politicians at all.
In Colombo, any cases of politicians going over your head to the secretariat or...?
No, never. Mm-hmm. Because they'd gone to the GA first, presumably. Mm-hmm. But the only one, really, I remember meeting at all was pretty well was Bandaranaike.
Yes, how did he strike you?
Well, he was obviously a very clever man. I can't pretend I cared for him much. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that he had a chip on his shoulder?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Against Europeans?
I don't know what against, but... I've always thought that, because he was reacting against his father, who was so much of the country squire and... that sort of thing, but you know, that had the effect it often does have of turning sons the other way.
Mm-hmm.
He can be very charming, but I can't pretend I can for him.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering whether in his case, or even in the case of many politicians, if he could go down the level of elementary psychology and wonder whether there was a sort of inferiority complex which bred aggressiveness.
Might have been in the case of his thought, I should think.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that this sort of thing was true in Africa, for instance?
We haven't got any politicians to say. I didn't come across that in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when I was in Kenya, there weren't really any. Any sort of African politicians at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or indeed when I was in Nyasaland the first time.
Oh, I see. Well, later on in the 50s.
Well, I was only there for 7 months and... Well, there again, when I was in Nyasaland for 7 months in beginning of 55, it was before all this sort of trouble had started up.
Mm-hmm.
All the political sort of... and the politicians in Nyasaland all started up when the Dr. Banda came back, which was just after I'd gone to Salisbury.
Mm-hmm. Were you in Ceylon in 1937? Yes,
Hamathot
and Goa.
Well, Hamathot, only for 2 months, I was in Goa.
No, I was wondering whether you could recall the Brace Girdle affair.
Well, I remember hearing about it, yes.
Do you know whether he was, what he was up to?
No, he was supposed to be a communist, wasn't he?
Yes.
And I'm not myself, I heard all the stories, you know, he was... I can't remember now, but I didn't... isn't there anything that I know about Brace Girdle affair that I can add to it?
Yes, it seems to have been a trivial matter which got blown up.
If they hadn't lost Brace Girdle and they'd pushed him onto the Multan, whichever it was, there'd have been no fuss at all, he'd never have been heard of.
Well, it's not a question of losing him. They said that he should leave by a certain date, and as normal at that time, they didn't take the man. They just told him that he had to leave, and they left him.
But I thought they were keeping tabs on him, weren't they?
No, they hadn't. Told him.
They just let him be, did they?
Yes. And he vanished. My other question of who lied. I mean, not only the question of the deportation order, but.
As between Banks and Jayatilaka.
Mm-hmm. Banks and Jayatilaka. It was, of course, it caused quite a lot of friction between the government. I mean, there was Tubbs and Wedderburn on one side, and
the
ministers on the
other. Of course, I was down in Gaul and right out of it, but it must have caused a great deal of friction.
Did you know Dowbegin at all?
Oh, yes, I met Dowbegin quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. How would you appraise him?
was a very remarkable man, I was sort of the old school, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Authoritarian?
Oh, I should say so, yes. Mm-hmm. But an extremely good policeman.
Well, he's sort of come down in Senegalese history with a rather bad name, partly because of the 1915 riots. This is partly myth and partly...
Has he? No, he's got a bad name, has he?
Well, a good name in a sense in the way he has sort of built up the police, the structure of the police. But he's looked on as very much the policeman of the old school at the... well, I suppose the politicians call him an imperialist, etc., etc.
Yes, well, because the politicians wouldn't like that kind of thing, would they? I mean...
No, I don't suppose they would.
I've got rather more sympathy for the police force in the way that sort of Derbyshire thinks of it than otherwise.
If I may say so, the police force seems to be in one of the departments where they were pretty careful about civilization, at the top especially. I mean, they control the entries there carefully.
I think they tried to get hold of good ones,
mm-hmm.
and I think, generally speaking, I think they did. Mm-hmm. They managed to get to them. The one I knew best was Sizer. Sydney, yes.
Well, that brings to mind, I mean, my knowledge of the police force today, and working backwards, and also quoted a case in Mathare in 1936, their methods could be pretty brutal.
Could they? I don't know whether... I never saw that side of it. When I was in Gaul, I had a series of policemen who shared the bungalow with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know quite a lot personally, but I've seen it happen. Beating ups are quite common.
Now?
Oh, yes, pretty common.
I shouldn't have said that they were, because I think they were... That sort of thing was pretty carefully controlled.
Mm-hmm. It happens now, and I can... there was a case in Mathare in 36, 37. A chap was killed in a police station, and they all lied and got out of it.
Yes. Of course, you're always bound to get a... Well, you're always bound to get a little bit of that and with the police force, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You, after all, have to suffer quite a lot at times.
Yes, I know.
And, but I should have said that when I went out there, the Ceylon police force, between the time I got out there and the beginning of the war, was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the officers were pretty good, both the Europeans and the Ceylonese. So I can't remember most of them. Sidney de Soysa was the one I knew best.
Mm-hmm. Did you find...
He was a very good policeman, too.
Did you find the Ceylonese rather fought shy of accepting responsibility?
I don't think I had much personal experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not personally, I think.
And just as a sort of virtually final question, this under this Donald Moore constitution, did you feel that you were in a rather dichotomous position, being under the chief secretary, who was in effect responsible to the British government, government, and at the same time possibly. Under a ministry and responsible to a minister.
I can't pretend that I did, no. I didn't...
I don't know whether you were in a position to...
I probably felt much more so that sort of I'd been someone like the controller of customs or a government agent.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I was in a purely sort of... I was always under a government agent or running a district, but I felt I was running it in no way. Responsible more to the chief secretary than to the minister. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I suppose it was dichotomous.
Especially in the police, I should think.
In the police, it must have been extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But in a district, you still got most of your instructions from the chief secretary.
Mm-hmm. I don't suppose it was a very good idea on the part of the Dodrupa people to have the three officers of state constituted the Public Service Commission. Don't you feel that it caused a lot of friction because they were the same men?
Who else would you have had? I mean, you would have had someone who was completely outside the...
Perhaps, yes.
...public service.
Perhaps public servants who were not officers of state or something like that.
I don't see how you could have had what public servants you would have had who were not officers of state. Mm-hmm. One part of the objects was to keep it away from the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, for instance, outside, in private life, that there were really...